Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana's number one sports station, 1037 The Game. Streaming live on 1037thegame.com and on the 1037 The Game mobile app. It's game day, and we're going behind the glass with the famous CD.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
The new guy, Blaine Viator. Cody Schutz. It's the producers on 1037 The Game.
I heard you missed us. We're back.
Smiley's 3-1. And that is rope deep to left field. Ball is hooking. If it stays fair, it's gone, and it hits off the foul pole. A two-run home run for Jose Altuve. 2-0 Astros. And that ball's hit pretty well and pretty deep to left center field. DeShields on his horse, still going back at the wall, looking up. See you later! Back-to-back jacks. First Altuve, now Bregman. And it's 3-0 Astros. Bregman with his third of the year.
What a way to start off a series in Arlington, Texas. What a heck of a way to start things off with the producers, the best Saturday morning sports talk show, the must listen to Saturday morning sports talk show in Acadiana, and dare I say the entire state, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. We got you locked in for two straight hours of some phenomenal content. And my goodness, Blaine, we got a lot to talk about this week, right?
Oh, so much to talk about, and it all started with the Astros last night, you know, getting off to a great start after dropping a series to the Rangers.
10 of their last 11.
Yeah, but after dropping that series to the Rangers earlier this season, just to go and, you know, flex your muscle a little bit and show them that you're still daddy.
Oh, they're flexing it for sure. But, of course, like, we gotta take things back. We got to hit the rewind button because – normally, we don't normally do that because we're a Saturday morning sports talk show, and trust me, you've probably heard all these stories a dozen times. You've probably heard all these topics spun around a million different ways. By the way, we're broadcasting live for the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. That's 237 Roof. From the roof to the roots of Acadiana, you can call them up, 237-7663. You can call us up, though, at 337-706-0111 on this fantastic Saturday. But again, we got to kind of rewind things because there's a lot of stuff that's happened over the last 6 days. From the second we got off the air last week, things were already kind of moving in the right direction. Friday, you had Will Wade visit with LSU. Nothing was kind of substantial coming out of that after the first day. Obviously, they're probably going to wind up talking for a couple of days thereafter. So everything's changed in the last like 7 days since we've been on the air. And it's for the better for the LSU athletics program. Sunday night, by the way, fantastic time, by the way, LSU, for dropping this news about 45 minutes before Game of Thrones premieres. The news breaks. LSU drops the release. This is way better than a Friday news dump, by the way. This is like a Sunday night after Tiger wins the Masters. LSU takes center stage in this part of the world and drops a release stating that Will Wade, he is back as a head coach of men's basketball for the Tigers. And this is something we talked about at length last week. And this was something that wanted to be in the big thing. Now he's going to be at the helm of this program, or what's left of it, because you have a lot of players that have declared for the draft. And I think a lot of them are probably going to wind up coming back.
Yeah, I think you're going to see at least, you know, three of them. I think it's fair to say they'll probably
back in purple and gold. I'd have to agree with you right there. And, of course, you know, that was kind of the first domino to fall. Tuesday night, in the middle of everything going on in Metairie with the Wally Poniff Junior Classic at the Shrine on Airline, which the Cajuns won, by the way, in case you forgot that. Because, again, a lot of things have happened in the last week. Late Tuesday night, I started seeing rumors starting to swirl around that Joe Oliva was going to be out the door within 24 hours. And, again, this is coming from Twitter and cesspools known as message boards. So, like, sometimes you can't trust the legitimacy of it. You know, it's a lot like following Dave Meltzer in terms of wrestling news, not necessarily 100% accurate, but it wound up being true because of everything that came out from the Baton Rouge Business Report on Wednesday morning-ish. I think it was like, what, 10:30, 11 o'clock, that news started dropping like flies about Joe Oliva stepping down as the athletic director. And then Wednesday afternoon, like 3:59 p.m., it becomes official. LSU releases another press release. It was press release week, I guess. I know they didn't have spring break, so I think that was a big reason why. So you have that happen. You have everything go on with LSU. LSU drops another press release saying that Joe Oliva has stepped down, and now he's the Dwight Schrute of LSU's like higher-ups. He's the assistant to the president when it comes to donor relations, a guy that hasn't necessarily gotten a whole lot of donations thrown his way because nobody likes
him.
A
job for him, right? You know, a guy, donor relations, somebody like, that's not well-liked, somebody who doesn't do a good job with the public. Now you can...
He spent more money than he has, like, made money for the university.
Interesting choice to put him in that role.
Exactly, especially with a guy like F. King Alexander, who could be the next one to fall. Of course, that's rumor and innuendo at this point. So we have this great moment in time. Joe Oliva named, stepping down as the athletic director, going down to being a Dwight Schrute to F. King Alexander.
Virgil Osberry comes through and is the interim AD for exactly, 45 minutes?
not even that. Like 425, 426, Billy Liucci, who we tried to get on the show, but homeboy, it's hard to find like a way to privately message him because his DMs were closed. So that was definitely the first.
We know Clint likes to slide those DMs.
The first roadblock. Hey, man, like I said, whenever you can try and get the biggest and best guests, you got to try every way you can. But we tried getting Billy Liucci on of TexAgs.com to kind of break things down. Couldn't get him. It is what it is. We'll move on from it. But when you look at what's going on with LSU, this was the next thing to fall about 4:25 p.m., 20 minutes after LSU puts out the press release. Scott Woodward, your next AD at LSU. And, of course, you know, again, TexAgs.com, definitely a reputable source. This is coming from some message boards or what have you or Reddit. This is actually a guy who is pretty well connected with Texas A&M, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, look, Scott Wilbur's just a natural fit at LSU, right? I mean, he's
yeah.
from Baton Rouge, went to LSU,
yeah.
Worked under Mark Emmert while he was at LSU. I mean, it made total sense.
Exactly, and then it kind of comes out Thursday morning-ish, I believe, was when this came out about LSU naming Scott Woodward officially as the new athletic director of LSU, which basically meant probably about a day, officially speaking, you know, that our boy Virgil Osberry was the athletic director for LSU, you know, which I think is great. You know, Virgil Osberry definitely deserves a lot more credit for a lot of things he's done for LSU, especially when it comes to scheduling high-quality opponents on the football field.
Virgil has done a tremendous job at LSU, as you mentioned, scheduling. He's right there in New Iberia. He's been there for so long. He's
going to be still going to be part of that.
Sure.
If he's not, like, what the hell is...
Yeah,
Woodward already took a step back if he does that.
Yeah. I doubt that's one of the first moves Scott Woodward wants to come in.
I think he'd be out of his ever-loving mind if that's the case, if he tries doing that. That being said, though, again, you have that happen. And I'll get to my thoughts on the Scott Woodward hire in a little bit, because I want to try and just get you everything that's happened over the last 7 days. Thursday... Ho-hum. LSU loses a game to Florida. Nothing really from the front office. You don't hear anything. And then Friday morning, my goodness, the clouds opened up. The clouds have parted. And it's a beautiful, sunshiny day at LSU because Will Wade doesn't have to testify on April 22nd. Or the trial starting on April 22nd. He won't have to testify along with Sean Miller. I cannot believe where we're at right now. This is amazing. Something we talked about like a few weeks ago on this show, because apparently that was the rumor. It was going to be a motion filed to not have them be a part of it because it was going to be considered irrelevant to the case. It's not about opening up the books and exposing what's going on in the world of college basketball, which we kind of already know at this point about how most everybody does cheat. But it's all about those two guys in particular and Christian Dawkins. Those two are no longer are going to be testifying because of the fact that it's irrelevant to the case concerning Christian Dawkins. Again, this is according to the judge overseeing this. And this was broken by Pete Brush of Law 360, a huge news story.
So let's see where LSU basketball is at this point.
Yeah.
What do you think happens going forward? Is this over with? I mean, Will Wade's back and – the NCAA, you know, are they going to come in and try to look under, you know, every nook and cranny and see if there's something going on? Or, I mean, are we over this?
I think they could wind up looking, continuing to look, but not necessarily as, like, hardcore looking into it, because it's the out of sight, out of mind mentality. At least, again, this is coming purely from our perspective over here in the 337 when it comes to a 225 perspective. What's going on over there? We don't know all the inside baseball terminology, but I feel like this is huge for LSU, because now you don't have to worry about the investigation, the sanctions that could wind up coming down. Because, again, you know, if Will Wade had testified with that federal jury,
it would have stayed in the light, right? And then,
no, you would have known what's going on, because if you lie, you're going to jail, bro. You would have been honest, and you would have to be honest and upfront about it and give out all the information that you have. And that could wind up hurting LSU in a big way. He has to tell the truth. So that winds up hurting LSU in a big way going forward. I think this may be the best case scenario for LSU. You don't necessarily have, you're probably still going to have to worry about it. But, you know, this is like, I'd say, 2, maybe 3 years down the line type stuff. This won't be, oh, hey, like at the end of this upcoming basketball season in 2020, 2021, 2022 at the absolute latest, when we wind up finding out potential sanctions, if there are any sanctions at all. Because these things take a while, especially, I mean, you look at UL, I believe then stuff came out about them with the improprieties that happened back in 2015. We didn't find out the official sanctions until like middle of 2016. It took some time to kind of get the ball rolling with that.
The NCAA does everything on their own time.
Exactly.
When they can. But I kind of agree with you. Look, it's out of sight, out of mind now. I think the NCAA does do an investigation.
But it'll be a while before we hear something.
I'm a lot more confident for LSU with Scott Woodward at the helm as I would be if Joe Oliva was at the helm.
Well, let's be honest. I think anybody would be better. I think Blaine Vietar over here would probably be – we'd be more confident in him than Joe Oliva, largely because the amount of confidence the fans of LSU had and the higher-ups in the world, the Lipsies in the world, all these guys wanted Oliva out. And the second the suspension happened, you saw – all those emails flood the inbox, and trust me, I can't repeat some of those, because my goodness, those are suboptimal, as our guy James Moran liked to say. It was just a suboptimal situation. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because...
But
you know,
at the end of the day, though, I think Will Wade has a lot to... he has a lot to blame on the situation as well, right?
I mean, yeah.
He still should have met with his employer.
Well, like I said, again, you know, this is something we talked about when it happened. You know, whenever you have a federal trial coming up, you don't want to give them all the information. You know,
See, I don't buy that, Clint. I mean, I think that you could still, your employer wants to meet with you. You still have to meet with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not be able to answer all the questions yet, but he had bad advice from his representation, who he's since changed. Right?
Yeah, that's a good
representation
thing.
And it seems to all work out.
Yeah, it's definitely working out quite well. And, you know, it's definitely going to be a really good show today, because we got a couple guests lined up. We're going to talk with our guy, Wilson Alexander, coming up next to talk LSU Florida heading into the series finale. A weird Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then again, it is Easter this weekend. 11:30, Ross Jackson talks some New Orleans Saints. Be sure to listen in at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour, the end of the 10 o'clock hour. We got a major announcement at the 11 o'clock hour, an entire half hour. I will give you my mock draft 1 through 32. I'll break it down for you. We got a lot to get to on this very special edition of the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Let's get back to the must-listen-to Saturday morning sports show, The Producers, with Blaine, Clint, and Cody on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Let's get to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. That's 337-706-0111 to talk to our guy Wilson Alexander of The Advocate, covers LSU baseball like nobody else. Wilson, what's going on, man?
How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing fantastic, especially after the wild kind of opening two games of this series against the Florida Gators. You have them lose the way that they did on Thursday night and then bounce back the way that they did. Have you ever seen something like that? You wind up losing the way that, like, you lose bad on Thursday night, and then Friday night you wind up whipping up on them 13-1.
No, I have never seen something like that. You have to remember that I haven't. I'm like 22 years old, and I haven't seen too much of this.
Yeah.
But in my short lifetime, I have never seen anything like that. It was absolutely just wild because Thursday, yeah, like you said, they got blown out. It was misting the whole time, and it was just kind of one of those slow evenings because the game took a while because Florida just kept scoring runs. And then last night, it was electric at the box because LSU was winning this time, and Cole Henry was just absolutely phenomenal.
And you bring up Cole Henry. That was amazing seeing him mow down pitchers left and right. If only you wound up having Zach Hess. You know, Pulmonary talked about that after the game on Thursday night. Maybe this would be a 2-0 series for LSU. They'd be winning that game on Thursday night. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I don't know if it would necessarily be a 2-0 series. I just don't think we would have seen, kind of like Paul said, a LSU suddenly down 13-0 in the fifth inning on Thursday. I mean, like Paul said, like there's no guarantee that they would have won even with Hess on there, you know, on the mound. But it probably would have been a lot closer and much more like a typical SEC game, not necessarily a blowout.
Well, we've seen it in this series. I mean, in baseball, momentum's only as strong as the next day's starting pitcher. And Eric Walker going today had a little bit of trouble last week out. How do you feel about his chances today at the box?
It's interesting with Eric. I mean, you know, I was talking to him at Missouri last week and after his start, and he said that stuff-wise, that was like the worst he'd been all year. Like, he just did not have his stuff. And it showed. I mean, he gave up six. But it's interesting. So it's been a mixed bag for Eric this year, but really.
Okay, that was a little suboptimal there. I don't know what happened there. I want to probably catch in a bad spot in Baton Rouge, I guess.
Yeah, and I think what he was kind of mentioning a little bit was how Eric Walker's been so good this year as far as just hitting his locations. And last week against Missouri, he got behind in counts, and he couldn't get his stuff over for strikes, and it just led him to leaving a lot of pitches up. And when you're a location pitcher and you don't have overpowering stuff, sometimes it takes, you know, that kind of outing to get you back down to reality. But hopefully he could go ahead and have a big showing tonight.
Hey, y'all there?
Yeah, we're back, Wilson. You kind of cut off in that last question. Can you kind of recap what you were saying there? Because, like I said, it cut in and out.
Yeah. I mean, just that, you know, he's just had that one really good start. Other than that, he hasn't really been able to get out of the fourth inning or the fifth inning. And LSU really just needs him to go about four, maybe five innings today. It's got a deep bullpen after what Cole Henry did last night. And so it just needs to kind of get to that bullpen, get to Devin Fontenot, Matthew Beck, guys like that, to try to get through this game.
Talk right now with Wilson Alexander of The Advocate, and we're talking about Cole Henry's performance last night. I definitely think another surprise was seeing Todd Peterson out there as long as he did. I mean, that was definitely a little bit longer than expected type run.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, Todd went three innings last weekend in his, I think, his most recent appearance. He started the game on Tuesday, but he went three innings. See, they've been stretching him out a little bit, probably just trying to get him back to where he was kind of at the end of last year and the very beginning of this season. But his stuff was late in the innings after going like 40 pitches. He was throwing 94, 95, so his velocity was staying there. And that's a good sign for LSU if he can pitch like that.
We talked a little bit about Zach Hess and what he's dealing with, the injuries. Where's LSU at as a whole with all the injuries they have going on? When can we expect some of these guys to come back?
It's funny. I mean, last night Paul was asked on TV, you know, was it hard setting the lineup? And he said, no, not really, because we didn't have anyone to choose from. Like, the only person on the bench was Braden Doty, backup catcher. And so they had 10 guys on the bench. So that's kind of where they are injury-wise right now, is they are somehow scraping by. The fact that they won last night by scoring 13 runs with four freshmen in the lineup and missing three of their starters was kind of impressive. As for kind of how they get back, I don't think we'll see Chris Reed and Zach Watson today. Hal Hughes is still out. Brock Mathis is probably out. And they're trying to get all those guys healthy, Paul said, for the drive home were his two words. So, you know, trying to get them back kind of for the stretch run. I wouldn't imagine they come back until at least Alabama.
The one pitcher I'm kind of interested in getting back the most is Jaden Hill. He looks so dominant early on this year, and then he's been dealing with, you know, injuries and arm soreness ever since. Is he a guy that we're ever going to see back in this season?
I honestly have no idea. And it's because, I don't know, because LSU doesn't seem to know. Paul is usually pretty forthcoming about that kind of thing, but there's just no timetable for his return right now.
Talking right now with Wilson Alexander of The Advocate. And we talked about the 13-1 win last night for LSU. I think a big reason why is Cade Beloso, who has definitely kind of come into his own second half of the season. We can say about Cade Beloso and what he's done to kind of step his game up whenever it's been absolutely needed.
Yeah, he's been really great the last four games or so. He struggled at the start of SEC play, probably had to get used to that higher level of pitching. And Paul said he's a guy, you kind of just got to keep him out there and let him figure it out, and that's what's happened recently. He's comfortable with the plate. He's seeing pitches and well, and, I mean, he's got six home runs, which I guess right now is second on the team behind Antoine and Daniel Cabrera, who both had seven. So he's been hitting really well, and if he can keep that up and provide some solid hitting near the bottom of the order for LSU, that's a really good sign for them.
And you brought up Antoine Duplantis. This is another way to kind of go there. Lafayette native, kind of starting to get things going again, because it felt like for a while he was cold. He's chasing Eddie Furnas, but then again, he could wind up chasing Jake Mangum before it's all said and done, because Mangum's only like five hits away from passing Eddie Furnas for that all-time SEC hits record. But what can you say about Duplantis and what he's been able to do to step his game up?
The last couple of days, Antoine said he's tried to get back to his old approach, which is look for fastballs and hit the ball up the middle and hit the ball away. And that's what we've been seeing. He's had a bunch of singles, which is what he did throughout his career, and he's been hitting the ball up the middle and the other way. And that's what really is successful for him just in terms of getting on base, because power doesn't just come naturally to him. He was sort of a fluke at the beginning of the year when he suddenly had seven home runs, not even halfway through the season. But he's just trying to get back to that old approach, and it's really been working for him. I think he had four hits on Thursday night. So he's been turning around with that approach.
You know, we opened up the show talking about everything that's happened at LSU in the last week. What's been the overall vibe that you've noticed in the city of Baton Rouge, considering everything that's happened with Joe Oliva, Will Wade, and whatnot?
I haven't really picked up on much of a vibe, but I guess if you wanted to pull the fan base, they'd be pretty happy right now.
Yeah, I think they would be 10 out of 10 happy. Wilson, thanks so much for coming on, my man. We'll talk to you down the road.
Appreciate y'all. Have a great day.
I appreciate you, Wilson. Have a great Easter. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You can follow him on Twitter at @WHAlexander_ to kind of get the lowdown on what's going on with the LSU Tigers on the baseball diamond. Got to take a quick commercial break. Be back with more. You're listening to The Producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The Producers get you ready for the weekend in their own special kind of way.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Fat! Fika!
Now, back to Blaine, Clint, and Cody.
Welcome back to The Producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. The ARCO Equipment Hotline open, 337-706-0111. Hopefully you have a great Saturday right before Easter. Hopefully you have a great Easter weekend as well. Pretty great weekend.
Yeah, good Friday yesterday. We had some bad weather on Thursday. Yesterday was pretty nice in the Acadiana area. It was a couple showers.
It was pop on Thursday.
It ended up being pretty nice. Nice rainbow yesterday afternoon.
Double rainbow.
It was a good day.
It was a double rainbow, bro.
Good Friday.
It was a good Friday. That's what that was right there. But, you know, of course, like today, man, I'm enjoying today. You know, definitely a lot of great things to, like I said, it's a great celebration. Why not? It's Joe Oliva's out the door this week as the athletic director. Scott Wilbur taking over. Will Wade, not necessarily having to worry about a federal trial coming up on Monday.
Opportunity to win a series against Florida. I
mean, it really is. It's amazing to see what we saw. We talked about Wilson Alexander, because I just saw that. I was like, what just happened? Like, did we just win a series, win a game 13-1 after losing 16-5?
You know, and I mean, go ahead and I'll kind of piggyback off of what you and I talked about in the break. Like, what would be the move that you would want Scott Woodward to make first? And if you would pull LSU Nation after Thursday night, he might have wanted to get rid of Paul Mainieri. But after
I think that's every single loss, let's be honest. Especially after a midweek loss, which, by the way, LSU fans, midweek games don't matter. Cajun fans, midweek games do matter, but you still got to win your conference. All right, let's go to the ARCO Equipment Hotline to talk with our guy, Ken. What's going on, man?
Good morning. Thank y'all for taking my call.
No problem, Migo. What's going on?
Well, it was a great high, and I look at the LSU as a whole, as far as athletics, it's pretty darn good, except for the women's basketball with Nikki Parkins. I think she should be gone because she's done nothing since she's been there. And you have a transfer, Chloe Jackson goes to Baylor with the MVP, with a national title. I mean, what has Nikki Parkins done since she's been at LSU? Nothing, in my opinion. I think we need a big-time coach to take over that program, you know, and try to get some Sylvia Fowles, some Simone Augustus-type players over there, whether it be in contention, because they really, that program has sunk since those young ladies have left that program.
I couldn't agree more, Ken. I mean, what LSU had went to the Final Four in women's basketball 3 out of 4 years or something like that back when those ladies were in Baton Rouge. So they got to get some of that going back. Since Nikki Fargas has been in LSU, I mean, she's missed the tournament, didn't get deep into the tournament, and they've given her a raise. I mean, Joe Oliva gave her a raise just a year ago. So it's time to make some moves in that area.
Yeah. It's a certain time to move forward. And, you know, I look at LSU football, I think 11-1, 12-0. You know, looking at the team now with all the players they got coming back and with the Stingley and all that joining them, this is a pretty doggone potent team. Changed the offense. They got a lot of things going for them. If they don't get any injuries, I look for LSU football to play in the Final Four this coming up season.
I appreciate that, Ken. Bold prediction, man. Bold prediction.
And the national media has kind of been on LSU football this last week or so. They've given them.
I mean, how can you not, especially after that spring game? I understand it's glorified practice a couple weeks ago, but Derek Stingley broke out in a huge way in that spring game and really showed why he's one of the players you need to watch.
Yeah, the way they, you know, handle the offense. I mean, I know they stayed vanilla a little bit, but look, they spread it out and chunked the ball all over the yard. I mean, it's something that you haven't seen them do. You heard them talk about it.
Yeah.
And they kind of went out and did it in the spring game, but you got to show me on Saturdays in the fall that you're going to do that.
Oh, of course. You got to show it, especially in the SEC, because that's where you're going to make your hay. I mean, this is going to be a really fun, interesting schedule. I mean, week two, you got Texas, and Texas, again, we could talk about it till we're blue in the face, but Texas could very well be back.
They could. They did lose a good bit, and, you know, week two is going to be a marquee matchup, or, you know, biggest game in the country that weekend. And I think LSU has an opportunity to come out and put their stamp on the college football season, or Texas for that matter. So it's a big, you know, swing game early in the year. We talking about moves that Woodward can make, and I know you don't want to talk like this, but do you think that, you know, the leash is a little bit shorter now on Ogeron? You know, if he goes 9-3 this year, does that seat get hot again?
Oh, man.
With a new AD, you know, I mean, somebody wanted to come in, put their stamp on a program.
When it comes to football, especially when you see what we have right now with LSU, I'm going to say no, because I feel like, you know, 2019, I think everybody's expectations is 11-1, 12-0. But you have to realize that the SEC, it's gotten a hell of a lot tougher than it was when Coach O took over, because look at the amount of turnover that's been in the SEC since Coach O's taken over. Like, a lot, like damn near half the coaches are gone now. Dan Mullen's in Florida. And Florida, by the way, Florida's going to be a tough ball game. I mean, it's homecoming, but my goodness.
You say that, but you get Florida at home.
Yeah.
You get A&M at home. You get Auburn at home.
But so, still, they're getting tougher.
And you got a senior quarterback. If this year's not the year, when is the year?
Ha, man. It just, I don't know, man. I would think this definitely has all the makings and the potential of the year. But maybe you look at the entire schedule, and especially the SEC schedule, it's not a, like, open and shut case with a lot of these games. Like, Florida, I feel like, could, Florida and A&M, even though they're at home, both those games feel like a trap game on the surface.
What would be an acceptable record for you in your eyes for LSU?
I think 10-2. 10-2 would be 10-2.
Anything under 10-2 is not acceptable this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Okay, that's where it would be a black eye on the season because again, like you wound up going 9-3 last year and doing it again, especially with all the talent. And again, the talent that you have right now that's 100% healthy, ready to go. Of course, some bumps and bruises here and there. That is what it is. Again, if you have like. Knock on all the wood that's in the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing that this doesn't happen. But if you have a Joe Burrow or a Derek,
oh, you're always an injury way, right?
Exactly. Like I said, if you have one of those injuries, then the thing changes. Again, if you can wind up staying healthy and go 10-2, 11-1, especially 11-1, I feel like you have Woodward be like, okay, cool, you know, great job. They're still going to monitor it because, you know, you won't have to pay him nearly as much as you did for the buyouts for Les Miles, Johnny Jones, so forth and so on. You know, I always feel like the hot seat's going to be there, but here's the thing. The recruiting he's done, the job he's done with recruiting has been amazing. The focus on Louisiana, we look at that was one of the best.
The hires he made, too.
The hires he made, like I said, again. We didn't see much from Joe Brady from his perspective, but I think that's going to be a huge thing for LSU going forward is to have him kind of be the guy to help make this offense a lot more modern.
The user, amazing for Joe Brady, though, right? Guys coming out, you know, he's been the star of the show at these coaches' clinics and stuff, so the potential's there.
Again, I haven't been in those, so I guess I don't know exactly what he's got in mind, what kind of ingredients he's going to be cooking up alongside Steve Ensminger. But again, I feel like Joe Brady is going to be the guy who's really going to lead the way towards a new era in LSU football in terms of just a more modernized offense, which I think could wind up being huge for this program because it felt like they were just stuck in the Stone Age for so long, especially Les Miles towards the end, I formation three wide.
I mean, you heard it. Every year you hear it, right?
Yeah.
LSU's offense is going to change. They're going to open it up, do more. Is this finally the year that you're actually buying in and believing it? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple of years ago, you saw things a little bit differently. You saw the jet sweeps and all that.
Yeah.
You never really saw that with Les Miles.
But they didn't really open it up that much, right?
They didn't. Like I said, I mean, you didn't see Foster Moreau become like a beast, which he should have, and I can't wait to see what he does
I think he's
in the NFL.
Be a really good pro.
Oh, yeah. He's somebody I think everybody at LSU knows how big of a deal he's going to be. And I don't think he's not going to be a first rounder, but he's going to be an early second in my mind.
You think he's going to go that high?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I mean, there's a need for tight ends with a lot of the teams, so I feel like he's going to wind up getting snatched up.
And he's a tight end that could do a little bit of everything, right?
Exactly.
Strong guy, athletic enough to make plays.
I mean, you think Green, like hypothetically, you know, I'll give my mock draft in the 11 o'clock hour, but I feel like he could wind up being a guy that could fit well with the Green Bay Packers because Jimmy Graham, his diminishing talents, he's not going to be there much longer. He's definitely not like the guy that we saw with the New Orleans Saints. If you can have somebody who's a blocker and also pretty damn good at catching the football, I think the Green Bay Packers can wind up snatching him up. That'd be great to see him wear the green and yellow. Again, it'd be great to see him wearing the black and gold, but I just feel like that might not necessarily be in the cards.
Yeah, well, the Saints having, you know, few picks this year.
Yeah, again, we can talk about that later on because I know I'll talk with Ross Jackson about it, about the if they should trade up. Because I think, yeah, we know your take. We talked about it on Bench Show yesterday. That was a big sink or swim question. And I had to kind of go the different direction. I said sink. I'm like, I'd much rather just stick with what I've got right now because, you know.
You're saying this is the year, right? So
yeah, but here's the thing. You've got a lot of things in place at this point in time where I feel like even if you get, like, a solid, like, rookie, you wind up getting a diamond in the rough in that second round. Like, you can wind up getting a really good player in the second round and then kind of figure out what else you got from there. I just don't think you need to move up, especially in the first day of the draft. I agree with Ben's theory about, like,
the roster's so short up. I mean, you're going to draft guys that won't make the team.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, that's the thing, you know. I'd much rather just stick with what I got and kind of have these guys maybe like you find like one diamond in the rough in that sixth, seventh round, like you've done in the past with a Marcus Colston. But
it's been a while though since they have
it has been. But I just feel like you don't need to go all out on this year for the draft and give away and get rid of a pick in 2020 because you could have like a first rounder. You could have like all these things in there because guess what? Again, you know, if we're talking about it being all in this year of LSU, all in or nothing at all, or Saints being all in on 2019, 2020, you could wind up having it all out because you got to re-sign Michael Thomas. You've got to deal with that. Drew Brees, you don't know if he's going to be there. There's a lot of things that you're waiting to see what happens.
I agree with that, but I mean, if you could package a bunch of these picks together this year,
yeah,
and if the season goes as planned, you're going to be drafting at the back half of the first round. So, I mean, if you're drafting, you know, 31st, 32nd, or the second round, is it that much of a difference? You know,
you're picking the second. You know, you gave away the first round pick for that was the Packers pick
for next year.
No, I'm talking about last year. Like
I'm saying that if things go as planned.
This year,
next year's pick will be in the back half. So you package all that together to move up into the first round. Is my point.
Like I said, I'd just much rather wait because I'd much rather try and like. Then
you want somebody you know that can contribute and be a difference maker this year if this is the year.
But what position would you want to try and get in that first round? Like if you want to kind of bundle up all your sixth and seventh round picks and your first round pick in 2020. What position would it be
I would say that I would target either a wide receiver that's a game changer. I solidify the offensive line or possibly somebody in the defensive backfield.
Okay. I think defensive backfield, it's a bigger deal because I feel like there's a lot of names on that roster that are like, okay, who are you? Like, why are you here? What are you doing?
You know, and they played really good at times
last
year, and then other times not so good, right?
Yeah, well, like I said, sometimes – well, I think it's also the fact that, you know, you have a league that definitely doesn't like –
caters to the
– no touching rules.
Yeah, it definitely caters to the offense.
Yeah, it caters to the offense. By the way, you know, did you see the Falcons release – a schedule release video?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, basically whenever the Saints go over there for Thanksgiving – they have like a bunch of Saints fans heading towards Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they have a little Ram tackle one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Classy, huh?
Oh, boy, yeah. Also, can we be real? Like, there were too many Game of Thrones videos, like, for their schedule releases.
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones. I'm one of the weird
ones. Me neither.
So, I don't get it.
Yeah, me neither. But like I said, it's just the best part of it was, though, like, yeah, that going on. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere... like, the Carolina Panthers dropped, like, the most fire, like, video. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll let you check it out during the break. But basically what they did was schedule release had a whole bunch of, like, a video game montage for each and every week. Like, it was, like, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Check that out.
Like, GoldenEye 007, No Mercy, Tony Hawk. Like, it was amazing. But then again, the Jets had the best one where they had NFL Blitz show off the schedule each and every week. And that was amazing. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
I'm going to have to check that one out. I didn't watch any of these, man.
Well, like I said, this one was like the one that everybody's been talking about over the last few days. Whenever all those schedule, like I said, NFL social media knows what they're doing, and they put a lot of effort into these things. Going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, wrap up hour number one. Big announcement coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to The Producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The Producers on 103.7 The Game on a Louisiana Saturday morning. Now, back to the other side of the glass.
Welcome back to The Producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. And, you know, it seems appropriate to play some Dr. Dre the next episode today because, well, I'm going to break some news in a minute. But, yeah, like I said, I wound up showing the video to Blaine during the break. It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was great. It kind of brought you back to some of the childhood.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, like, well, for what it's worth, it wound up being on Channel 4, even though I think we remember it on Channel 3 back in the day.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, the last couple weeks have been weird with the show because I've been waiting to drop this news. Wound up talking about it with somebody about it. I'll break it down a little bit, but I thought we were going to drop the proverbial bombshell last Saturday, but we'll make the formal announcement today. April 20th, 2019. The producers, it is coming to an end. You hear me right? The show that myself, Cody Schutz, Blaine Viator, and even Whitney Utter all helped create, nurture, and build up to be the best damn sports talk show in Acadiana on a Saturday morning. It's wrapping up its time on the air. This has been a passion project for a while. Never did I think I would have kept the show going past that first football season back in 2016 when Alan Michael, who's up in the Iron City now, let us take over the airwaves. I've loved doing the show for the last 3 years. It's been amazing. But the final episode will be next Saturday. So the next episode of The Producers will be the final one. We'll recap the draft for the Saints, talk Cajuns, LSU, Stros, and a whole lot more. Outside of that, it'll be a great end of an era. Even the boxing at the Cajun Dome next weekend. I'm going to actually try and get out there for that.
Is boxing next week at the Cajun Dome?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the Regis Progray. It's one of those, I'm trying to think, it was like the Super Series or whatever. It's the semifinals. It's actually the Cajun Dome. Like, okay. New Orleans boy, going to be in the main event of the card. But again, you know, we'll be talking about that. We'll figure out something in terms of a guest. We got a lot of things kind of in the offing for next week's show. But a couple weeks ago, I found out the news when I talked about some stuff when it comes to station with our new brand manager, Raymond Parsha III. You might know him better as RP3, host of RP3 and Company every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. And I agree with everything he had to say. And we came to an agreement that the show would kind of wrap up in its current form. And we reached the decision that if we wanted to give it enough time to promote the new stuff we'll be doing the weekends, it felt appropriate to do it now and get people ready for one hell of a debut. Again, we mentioned next week will be the final episode of The Producers. The Producers will end, but a new show will take over and morph into a new era of Saturday morning sports talk on 103.7 The Game. And that's going to consist of me, myself, and I. I'll be running the show for 2 hours every Saturday morning starting on May the 4th. It's been kind of an inside joke that me and Ben had a number of years ago. Can't remember how it exactly started, but we're going to do it. We're going all in on it. And if you listen to Ben's show, you know about this well enough. Under the Dome with CD, we're bringing it to a full 2 hours. It's technically been a show show within the show, but we want to go one step beyond and make this a full-blown show. Everything you've come to expect with the show is going to remain. We're still going to have some of the great guests that we've had on with the producers because, well, they're all in my contact list, if you will. So I know there's going to be a lot of things that we'll talk about. And this show's going to start on May the 4th. For one, it's Star Wars Day. Number two, it's Kentucky Derby Day. So, like, honestly, this is kind of the beginning of summer. This is what I kind of pitched to Raymond about why I wanted to kind of start things off. And, of course, we're going to have a lot of the more consistent guests we've had in the past. Greg Peterson. I can't not have that guy during college basketball season. Steve Lassell talking college football. Ross Jackson we'll have on 11:30. We'll definitely talk about a lot of great things involving the Saints. Because it could be their year, the next year. We'll have all these guys. It'll also have a lot more fun because I want to go full Barney Gumble with this show and take it to strange new places and make this the best damn show in Acadiana on a Saturday morning. Bottom line, period. All caps, bold, italicized, underlined. Going all in on this. I cannot wait to jumpstart this show in 2 weeks. May the 4th, Under the Dome with CD will officially begin.
Exciting stuff, man. I had a lot of fun doing The Producers with you guys. I'll miss coming on Saturday mornings.
You'll miss waking up early on a Saturday?
Yeah, I wish you nothing but the best. I think you'll do a great job.
I appreciate that, man.
It'll still be a solid show on Saturday. So I'm sure Acadiana won't go anywhere. They'll stay locked in on 103.7.
Well, they should. They should, because let's be honest. This is the must-listen-to. We talk about it every single Saturday morning. This is the must-listen-to sports talk show in all of Acadiana, and I think Acadian has agreed. They definitely consider this a staple of Saturday mornings. You know, consider this a change from one Saturday morning cartoon to a completely different Saturday morning cartoon that, trust me, you want to be all in on. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two getting started in just a little bit. You're listening to the producers on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on 103.7thegame.com and on the 103.7 The Game mobile app. It's game day, and we're going behind the glass with the famous CD.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
The new guy, Blaine Viator. Cody Shoots. It's the producers on 103.7 The Game.
Eric, you missed us. We're back.
Welcome back to the Must Listen to Saturday Morning Sports Talk Show in Acadiana. The producers, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com, broadcasting live as always from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Hour number two, going to be a fun one.
A lot to get to, a lot to talk about. I mean, you're going to be releasing your NFL mock draft, so we'll be able to critique and talk a lot about that as well.
Oh, trust me, we're going to waste very, very little time doing that. Let's start things off. I'm going to go ahead and just hit the music. It is time to round up the NFL, my mock draft. I do it every single year. I spend hours, literally just like a few hours, putting this together. It's nowhere near expert opinion, but trust me, I have a whole lot of fun with it. So let's start things off looking at the Arizona Cardinals with the number one pick. A lot of things could happen. This could wind up getting traded. But this could be a trade with the Oakland Raiders. That's what everybody kind of says it is. But regardless of what happens, the number one pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, Kyler Murray, quarterback out of Oklahoma. This one just feels like it's the easy pick. But guess what? Both teams, if it wants to be in a trade, both teams need a guy like Kyler Murray for the here and now.
Murray, no matter who has the pick.
That's my point.
Wow.
Like I said, that's who.
I don't think so. I disagree with that. I think if it's the Cardinals, they keep the pick. No brainer. They're drafting Kyler Murray.
Exactly.
End up trading up? I'm not so sure.
I think they would, because here's the thing, like, who's to say like you're not going to be trading alongside like a trading up for it? You wind up giving them your boy Derek Carr, because I feel like they're not a big fan of Derek Carr, and that's the thing. That's my whole thought process on that. And of course, we got to look over at number two, the San Francisco 49ers with the second pick in the 2019 NFL Draft. I feel like they're going to go defensive-minded here and go with Nick Bosa. Now, they're picking the litter with defensive players due to the fact that I feel like a lot of guys are going to lean towards a quarterback in this mock draft. And Kyler Murray seems like the obvious number one pick. So Nick Bosa out of the Ohio State University, they'll snatch him up if they want to be relevant in the NFC West a little bit more than they have been in the past.
I think that's a solid pick right there. He's a guy that can get after the quarterback, and that's obviously something they need badly.
It's something they need horribly badly. They just need this right here, right now. And number three, it's got to go to the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And to me, I said it a while back, they whiffed on Sam Darnold, but I feel like they're kind of just, they can't risk it on getting a guy like Dwayne Haskins. They need to focus more on other things, and because they have a lot of holes. They're a lot like Swiss cheese. And Williams is a guy I feel like is undoubtedly the third pick in this draft and be somewhere that many should fear. So Quinnen Williams, the number three pick in the NFL draft.
He could be one of the safest picks. I think he's a guy who's going to play in the NFL for a long time, to play a number of different positions, either in the 3-4 or the 4-3.
All right, the number four pick going to the Oakland Raiders. Of course, this is if everything stays the same. I don't deal with any trades or hypotheticals. I just stick with my guns and go with the guys that I think are going to be the picks. Number four, Rashawn Gary. I feel like this is where they're going to wind up going. They only had 13 sacks last year. Give him an edge rusher to help that front seven improve. By the way, remember they wound up getting rid of Khalil Mack? Of course, they could trade up. But I think Mike Mayock, the draft genius that he is, they're going to go with Rashawn Gary in the number four spot.
Former number one player in the country coming out of high school before he went to Michigan. Just an athletic.
Was he considered
specimen.
For LSU?
Yeah, he came down between LSU and Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Remember when that was the thing? Number five, the fifth pick, rounding out the top five, DeAndre Baker going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, former Georgia Bulldog. Definitely could be a big deal for this team in that secondary. I think they're going to be bolstering it up. Because you got to consider how strong the NFC South is in wide receiver depth.
Yeah, but that could be another spot for Devin White. I think that's another position that they need help for. So Devin White could sneak in and get drafted.
Devin White could sneak in, but like I said, again, I'm just going to personally say no on that end. I think they go more secondary because that's a position I feel like they need to kind of shore up. And then, of course, the number six pick is going to the New York Football Giants. And I think we all know where they need to go, and I'll tell you where they need to go in case you're not aware of what they need to do. They need to go the route of quarterback. They need one man and one man only, and that is Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State University. They need to do something. I feel a lot of people have talked about in the past, especially New York radio, and that is following the Kansas City model.
What is the Kansas City model?
The Kansas City model. You've seen the Kansas City model. Have a guy readily available to get things done and have him learn under the system for a year, and then you can have him take over for Eli Manning because I feel like that's the logical step. That's the Kansas City model.
What is the Kansas City model?
I just told you the Kansas City model, Mike. Come on.
I think that's going to be a solid pick, safest pick for them. They need help at that position. Eli's getting old. I think it's a no-brainer that they go quarterback.
Number seven, Jawan Taylor going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You need to protect the shiny new investment in Nick Foles. Offensive lineman feels like the easiest way to do it. And Jawan Taylor definitely has a lot of talent, and he's going to be helping people out. Sure, it's going to be considered a reach to some, but trust me, this is going to be a great deal for the Jags.
They struggled with protecting the quarterback last year, as well as having a solid running game. So I think offensive line is definitely the position they got to go with.
Number eight to the Detroit Lions goes Greedy Williams. If the former LSU Tiger doesn't go in the top 10, this has been an absolute mess of an NFL draft. Some might consider him overrated. I wound up checking out some scouting reports. I mean, somebody put him as overrated. That is ridiculous. Get out of here with that mess.
That's a bold statement. I've seen quite a few mock drafts in the last couple weeks that didn't have Greedy in the first round.
Bold prediction, that's what I do here. But you got to think about it. Detroit needs a cornerback, needs to bolster up that secondary. I think that's a guy. He's considered by some to be one of the top-rated corners, according to their big board.
He was just tremendous in his career at LSU, plays amazing technique. We saw he had the speed, right? He went out and ran blazing in the 40 at the NFL Combine, so you know he's a guy that can get it done.
Appropriate word to use today, by the way, blazing. All right, number nine to the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Bills. It's got to be Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State. The guy is an absolute monster, can play multiple positions for the Bills. His heart condition dropped his stock down, but it can't drop him out of the top 10, I feel.
I mean, talk about blazing. He's a guy that just went out and tore up the combine, especially in the 40. He's a man that can move extremely well for his size. He's got to be a lock to go in that top 10.
Number 10, the Denver Broncos select Devin White out of LSU. He rounds out the top 10. One of the biggest needs for the Broncos is a great inside linebacker, and he may be one of the best in recent memory in terms of a draft class. Been compared to Ray Lewis in the past. He won't need to have a 100-plus tackle season like he's had at LSU, but the guy's prospects are through the roof. As long as my SEC referees don't transfer over to the NFL, I think he'll be okay. There won't be any questionable targeting calls in the NFL.
Well, I mean, we talked about Quentin Williams being the safest pick in the draft. It's not him. It's got to be Devin White. He's a guy that's going to play a long time in the NFL.
He's a franchise player. Number 11 to the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going quarterback as well. Andy Dalton, he is going to get kicked out the door before you know it. It's a new era in Cincy. And Drew Lock out of Mizzou feels like the right pick to kind of build your franchise around near the future because, well, let me put it this way. Drew Lock feels like he's played for Mizzou for about 10 years at this point, and he is a phenomenal player out of Mizzou. Give me Drew Lock to the Cincinnati Bengals at number 11.
I think he's a solid player, don't get me wrong, but I think that just proves that how teams reach for quarterbacks. You know, is he really a first-round talent? I mean, time will tell, but I just think teams reach extremely
too well. I mean, I get to one that's definitely a big reach in just a little bit, because like I said, we're going to go 1 through 16 and then 16 through 32 in the next segment, because I wouldn't have enough time to get to everything in one segment. Number 12, to the Green Bay Packers. I talked about earlier, they need a tight end. I feel like they can get one a little bit later in the round, especially with value. But they also need a wideout for Aaron Rodgers in this new era over there with the new coaching staff and everything. And we know Aaron Rodgers, total diva. Give him DK Metcalf, the masterpiece. This dude is like completely jacked.
He's chiseled out of stone, man.
Look, real jack, baby. That's where I'm going with wide receiver. The dude is phenomenal. You can secure a tight end later to help fix the declining talents of Jimmy Graham. He almost could be a tight end, bro. But I think he's not necessarily weight-wise, he wouldn't fit.
He's huge, man.
He's a stud. The genetic freak of the NFL draft. DK Metcalf to the Green Bay Packers. Number 13, Miami Dolphins going to H-Town for the former Houston Cougar in Ed Oliver. He's been an absolute beast throughout his collegiate career. I feel like this one could be one of the steals in the first round.
This is a guy that could go a lot earlier than this. The potential's through the roof. I mean, he has that quick burst and gets into the backfield with ease. He's another guy that's just going to be solid for a long time.
Number 14, Christian Wilkins. Time for the Atlanta Falcons to bolster the defensive line with Christian Wilkins. It'd be huge. He's just, Falcons defense's front seven hasn't necessarily been great. I don't want him to be great, but guess what? Christian Wilkins, you want a number 14, buddy.
Yeah, I think they could go a number of different ways, but it has to be on the defensive side of the football, in my opinion.
Yes, indeed. Number 15, Washington Redskins have that pick, and you look at the amount of – it's a mass unit right now with the quarterback position. They've lost a ton of quarterbacks. Give me the Redskins going with Daniel Jones out of Duke solely because they need a body.
Yikes, man. I wouldn't is that your biggest reach you'd say in the first
round? I think that's my biggest reach. But again, you know, but again, this is a need because you need a body to be a quarterback, because you don't know if Alex Smith is going to be ready to go. You don't know if any of these guys are going to be 100% ready to go. You need bodies to fill that void because you wound up having a lot of injuries towards the end of last season. I think this is just a smart business decision to have a body readily available.
Yeah. I see your point, but I mean, you got to go out and get Duke's quarterback. I mean, is he a first-round talent?
Well, like I said, again, you know, this isn't necessarily the best quarterback class in the world. So,
and you already had how many go?
I've already had four. But hey, you know, like I said,
that's why I got them.
Whenever you need a quarterback, like quarterbacks, you're just going to grab whatever's there. If you need one, like right here, right now, and I feel like that's the Washington Redskins mentality: is they need one to fill the void. And then rounding out the first half of the first round of the 2019 NFL mock draft, Cody Ford out of Oklahooma. Pineville, Louisiana. He's going to the Carolina Panthers. They need some help with the offensive line to protect Cam Newton as much as humanly possible. Because the man is made out of glass at this point. I think the Carolina Panthers have to go that route.
And he's a guy who could play a number of positions on the line, either guard or even center. He's kind of versatile when it comes to that. He had a tremendous career over at Oklahoma.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Come back with even more. You're listening to the producers on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Also, the free mobile app presented by Visit Avery Island.
Now, returning to the only show bringing you weekly appearances from the Coach Foe. Clint may have to step out when he gets here. They really don't like each other. It's the producers on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com, live from the 237 Roof Studios on this fantastic Saturday morning. How can I not just bump some I Got Five on it today? of all days. Turn your mic on, bro.
Your music taste today has been spectacular.
It really has. It's really been good. It's really been good.
Fits the occasion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fits today. Like I said, I mean, you said blazing. Might as well just keep the theme going today. And, you know, if you can't figure it out, you know, you need to read between the tea leaves there, pal. But, of course, we got to keep things going with the NFL mock draft, my mock draft. And trust me, it's a wild one, especially once you get past the second half of the draft. And the New York Giants with the 17th pick need a look on the defensive side of the ball. And they're going to go with a safety in Jonathan Abram.
They need all kind of help, Clint. They need a number of positions. I think he'd be a solid pick for them, but they just need help.
They need a lot of help. But I think that's the guy you need to look at. Going to move through these a little bit faster now. Number 18, Minnesota Vikings. They're going Jonah Williams out of Alabama. Offensive tackle. They need some help on the offensive line as well. I think that winds up being a big help for them. Tennessee Titans. They're going offensive line as well. A center out of Texas A&M, Eric McCoy, as your number 19 pick. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going towards the University of Michigan to go with Devin Bush Jr. The man is an absolute monster. And that is the number 20 pick. So kind of recap 16 through 20 real quick. Like, you've got Jonathan Abram, Jonah Williams, Eric McCoy, Devin Bush. Those are your 16 through 20. Number 21, it is without a doubt, has to be Marquise Brown. The man is an absolute talent, and he's definitely going to be one hell of a wideout for the Seattle Seahawks, obviously related to Antonio Brown. It'd be great to see him with the Raiders, but I just don't see that happening because they need to fill some voids, especially earlier in that draft. And then we got to look at the Baltimore Ravens. There we go. Formerly the Cleveland Browns, now the Baltimore Ravens. And they're going to go towards Clemson here. Go with Cleveland Farrell out of Clemson. Defensive end, it's the fact you had Terrell Suggs. You don't know how much longer he's out the door. You got to rebuild because the biggest thing about Baltimore has been their defense. And I think this is a great defensive get.
And defense starts up front, so that's a big pick for them to go ahead and kind of re-solidify themselves as a presence to be reckoned with.
And then we got to go with Houston Texans. They're going to Ole Miss to pick up A.J. Brown. I would love to see Deshaun Watson have some more targets. I feel like this is the guy that you need to pick up if you're the Houston Texans. A.J. Brown is going to be a great get if they can get him.
Yeah, I think so, man. If he falls all the way to them, that's a no-brainer.
And then the Oakland Raiders pick in again, number 24.
They need almost all 32.
Man, you mean 22.
Yeah, all 32 picks.
Okay, yeah, now I got you. I was like, wait, what? There's 22 players on the field at one time. Anyways, Josh Jacobs, they're going running back with the 24th pick, the first running back to go off the board, which, again, seems like a thin class as well, but I feel like running back not necessarily as much of a need for some franchises.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's the emphasis put on that position anymore. You see teams do it with the multiple guys, and guys are in and out of the league so quickly at that position.
Yep.
So.
Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going a little bit out there here, and I'm probably going to get a whole lot of heat for this one, but I got to go with, for the NFL 2019, I'm trying to have a hard time figuring it out right now, so I'm gonna skip over that one for now, because I think I might have messed up this one. So, all right, number 26 overall, Paris Campbell going to the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, that's the guy that you need to go get if you're the Indianapolis Colts. Give Andrew Luck some help with actual targets.
He's been thrown to a bunch of no-name guys lately. So outside of T.Y., let's get him
outside
a little bit of
T.Y. Hilton. This guy, man, this could be fun. All right, here we go. I was looking up the wrong thing. So yeah, Josh Allen going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Defensive player, they need some defensive help. This guy could be big.
He could. They're right there though. They're still their window's still open.
Yeah, number 27, the Oakland Raiders again going tight end here as well. They lost Jared Cook, so they need somebody like that. T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa, he's going to be the first tight end off the board. I feel like that's going to be a good one.
I think he's a good player. I'm surprised you went him as the first tight end off the board, especially when they got a guy from Alabama that could kind of do it all.
Like I said, I feel like the two guys from Iowa have been the one that everybody's been leaning towards from that perspective. Number 28, the Los Angeles Chargers, Mississippi State. You're being called up. Los Angeles Chargers go Jeffrey Simmons.
Kind of surprising as well. Off the injury and yeah. A lot of off-the-field issues. He's a guy I could see sliding down a little bit.
Yeah, and then we've got the Kansas City Chiefs. They got to bolster up that defensive side of the football because their offense is on point. Defense is absolute trash. Give me Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson going 29th overall. Surprised he dropped this far in the mock, but you know what? We're doing it.
Hey, if a guy like that falls that far down, you got to go up and grab him.
You've got to snatch him up. And again, you know, one of the big things that I've talked about whenever I do my mock drafts every year is I go best player available, not best player available, team needs. I'm not a big fan of BPA. I'd much rather go team needs. What's your biggest need in that first round?
I mean, Dexter Lawrence is also a guy, Clint, if they wouldn't have had those issues happen around playoff time in college football, I mean, I think he's a guy who could have almost been top 10.
He really could have been. Number 30, Green Bay Packers go again. This is where the Saints were going to pick. So Chris Lindstrom going to go over to the Green Bay Packers. Rounding out the first round of the draft, I got to go with number 31 to the L.A. Rams. We gotta pick the man himself, Michael Jordan. Not that Michael
not
Jordan,
that one, right?
Obviously.
I mean, he's already played baseball and basketball. He's not going to add football to the
world. He's also old as all get out. But no, this is actually a player of the same name, Michael Jordan. And the final pick in the 2019 mock draft for yours truly, the famous CD. We only go first round because I don't have time to do all seven rounds. It's too much work. We're going to go tight end because you need to replace Rob Gronkowski and go Noah Fant out of Iowa, 6'4", 249 pounds. I feel like this guy could wind up being that guy to fill that void that Gronk left and also maybe fix that dent that he left in the Lombardi Trophy.
I hope he's not going to dent the trophy after they win another.
Well, I mean, this guy's not from Arizona State. This dude's from Iowa. Like, I don't think they party that hard in Iowa.
Arizona, not Arizona State for Gronkowski.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'm sure you went to Arizona State for the parties, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that guy's going to be wherever the party's at. But, yeah, they definitely need a tight end. And it's interesting, though, two tight ends off the board and not the New Orleans native who played for the Crimson Tide.
Like I said, I'm surprised as well. But, again, you know, when I look at all the kind of the rankings, Fant was definitely a favorite in some of these, you know. Always a fan of that. Always a fan of doing the mock draft every single year. Even though I'm probably going to be 100% wrong 100% of the time. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Either way, get some thoughts with our guy Ross Jackson, All Saints Considered, Locked On Saints podcast, to talk Saints draft, the schedule release, and a whole lot more. You're listening to the producers on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Join KDCG-TV at Randall's Restaurant Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 o'clock for another taping of Le Bon Temps Roulet. Dance to the music of Jacob LeBlanc Friends and then Donnie Broussard and the Louisiana Stars. Come out to Randall's, dance and be a part of the show, then watch Le Bon Temps Roulet Tuesday nights at 6 and Sunday afternoons at 2:30 on KDCG. Don't miss our next taping of Le Bon Temps Roulet Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. with Jacob LeBlanc Friends and then Donnie Broussard and the Louisiana Stars.
Want a more beautiful lawn this season? The Home Depot has a few suggestions in one bag. Scott's Turf Builder Southern Triple Action, starting at just $24.99. It feeds your lawn, it weeds your lawn, and it prevents fire ants for up to 6 months. Three of the most common lawn problems, one great solution. Today is the day for doing with Scott's Turf Builder Southern Triple Action, starting at just $24.99 a bag. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, continental U.S. only.
Acadiana HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at AcadianaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work. AcadianaHelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at AcadianaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Your Saturday morning never truly gets started until the producers take over the airwaves.
Like it or not?
Not.
We are taking over.
Now let's get back to Blaine, Clint, and Cody.
It's not quite football season, but you know, there's no real bad time to break out the choppa style on a Saturday morning. And when we do that, it typically means we go to one guest and one guest only, and that is our absolute certified expert on all things New Orleans Saints, Ross Jackson, All Saints Considered, and the Locked On Saints podcast. He's on the ARCO Equipment Hotline right now. What's going on, my good brother?
What's going on, man? How's everything been, man? Glad to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you back. We'll have you on next week as well, because, trust me, we got a lot of things to get to. It is time to talk some NFL draft. But before that, I want to get your instant reaction on everything that happened with the release day. The schedule release is coming out. What's your thoughts on the Saints schedule now?
Yeah, well, first of all, shout out Nick Underhill, right?
Yeah.
Who, even though he had to bounce to go and take over a position at The Athletic to cover the Patriots, was still leaking some Saints news for us, so blessed to that, for sure. But yeah, man, when it comes to the schedule, look, you can't help but notice the opening, you know, four games of the season where they're playing against playoff teams right off the bat. You've got four straight games against the Houston Texans, Los Angeles Rams, Seattle Seahawks, and then to close that out against coming into week four back at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Just a crazy sort of tough stretch to open, at least if we look at it in comparison to or in reference to what happened with these teams last year. Last year, these teams were very good. We'll never really know what they're going to look like in 2019 until, you know, we still have the draft to go through. We've got roster cuts, all that. So we can only look at it so much. But so we've got, I mean, that stood out to me. The other one that stood out to me was, you know, actually having a bye week in the middle of the season for a change instead of one of those week four, week five bye weeks way early, and to be able to split the season in half, essentially. But then you come back from the bye week, you got four straight divisional opponents right out of that. So it's a doozy of a schedule, man, but I think it can work out in the benefit of the Saints here.
And you're bringing that up. Of the first 4 weeks, I was more surprised at how, like, kind of all worked out, because obviously everybody was talking about, like, yeah, the opening, the first game of the season would be a Monday night game against the Houston Texans, week two, a late afternoon game against the Rams. I thought it might have been the other way around.
Yeah, usually you would imagine to see that. But, I mean, I guess Saints made some headlines at the end of the season, and then they're looking at bringing them back at the top of the season. I was surprised to see that Los Angeles Rams game settled for week two. I kind of expected if that was going to be early in the season to be opening the season, or they would put it later on in the season when there are more playoff implications in the NFC left to sort of figure out. That would bring, you know, one of those games that would already be planned for prime time or could be a flex game, something like that. But then to bury it in week two was a little odd, but then you get the 3:25 game. The Saints essentially have a shot at four straight national games with two primetime games just in the first 4 weeks.
And that's amazing, considering the fact that maybe the last few seasons, especially you look back at those 7 and 9 years, it was pretty hard to get a primetime game, and they got four primetime games on the slate for 2019. Out of those four primetime games, like Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night football, which one has your interest the most?
Well, obviously, I'm a little bit excited about the Thanksgiving primetime game in Georgia against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, that's one that definitely stands out to me. But I'll tell you one that I'm really, really looking forward to, and I think it's the one out of the four that most people might not necessarily be paying too much attention to, and it's that week 15 game against the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football. Those are essentially, you talk about the Saints, you talk about the Colts, those are, you know, those are playoff teams right there, and that's late in the season. That could be, you know, the difference between an 11-5 or a 10-6 season for either of those teams, and who knows what that means for playoff implications that late in the season. And then the Saints end up going on the road for the last 2 weeks of the season, week 16 in Tennessee and then week 17 in Carolina to close out against the Panthers again for the second year straight. So, I mean, a game, primetime Monday Night Football game in the Dome that late against a playoff contender from the other conference, I feel like that's a really, really nice one to really be paying attention to, and it's one that I'm really excited about. But, of course, you can't help but be excited about that primetime game Thursday night against the Falcons on Thanksgiving night.
The second straight year, in fact, the Saints-Falcons game mm-hmm. has been on Thanksgiving night. And, of course, I think a little more fuel's been added to the fire whenever they put out the schedule release video the Falcons did with the Ram running against the Saints fan. Definitely planned.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, look, some of these schedule release videos were really, really good. I enjoyed very much the Carolina Panthers
yes.
one where they did the, oh my God, that one was great. But yeah, I mean, look, using the Atlanta Falcons one, the Falcons using theirs as a means of taking a shot at the Saints. You got to be a little careful. Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Barry Hurst is over at Big Easy Magazine and Sports News Network wrote an article about that. You got to be careful what you wish for. But I'll tell you what, real quick, my favorite one out of all of them is probably the San Diego Chargers one where they use all stock footage for the schedule release. That was hysterical.
Oh, that one was great. Again, I love the Carolina Panthers one. That's my favorite. Number two has to be the Jets one, whenever they had every single week with NFL Blitz 2000.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was a masterpiece.
The video game theme really ran strong for you, huh?
Oh, yeah, well, of course, man. I mean, I'm a big nerd, dude. How can I not love, like, just video game references all the way around? But now we got to move towards a draft talk right now with Ross Jackson, All Saints Considered, and the Locked on Saints podcast. And we got to look at it. Of course, the biggest question everybody's going to have is, do the Saints move up in the draft, be it move up to the first round or move up earlier in the draft in the later days in day two or day three?
Well, I think that they're definitely, I mean, when you look at all of the history since Sean Payton has been there, since 2006, they've moved up every year with the exception of his first year, 2006, and, of course, the 2012 season when he wasn't allowed to talk to the team. So you can pretty much expect that they're going to be moving up at some point in this draft. Jeff Ireland, same thing, loves to move up, loves to make those moves as well. They've only traded down twice, three times technically, twice in 2006, once in 2007. So you can imagine that they're going to be moving up in this draft, and especially without them having a first round, third round, or fourth round pick, you could definitely expect them to be able to do that with having those five day three picks, one in round five, two in round six, two in round seven. I don't know necessarily that they move up from 62. I'm only so comfortable with that because you then have to sort of start giving away some of those future picks, and then you might end up in a situation much like what you're in this year. But look, if you're in a win it all now, or if you're in a win now mode, you might as well go for it, right? The Saints might not really be looking for a quarterback in 2020, depending on what they really feel like they have in Teddy Bridgewater. They may be willing to wait until 2021 for that. Both are going to have good quarterback classes. At that point, if you're not really looking for a quarterback in 2020, you might be okay without a first-round pick in that year. So you could move, you know, up to, say, 23 with the Houston Texans if you're willing to part with somebody like Andres Pete, give them an extra player. And then, of course, you have the Oakland Raiders who have three first-round picks, one at 4, one at 24, and one at 27. One of those later ones you might be able to get into. But I wouldn't be as shocked to see the Saints move up earlier in the second round, sort of in that 50 to 60 area or 50 and beyond area if there's somebody that they really like that falls there, say Hakeem Butler, for instance, out of Iowa State or somebody like that.
Exactly. And, you know, we're talking about it with the NFL draft. And if they move up, what do you think is going to be their pick? Like, let's say they move up to the first round. What do you think they're going to wind up going with?
Well, you got to think about, I mean, if you're going to make a move like that and you're going to move up to the first round, what are the two positions that really, really, really can see a difference from moving up to the first round and taking a pick like that? So for me, it's somebody like, you got to be moving up for, this won't happen, but you've got to be moving up for somebody of almost Devin White status in order to do that. Saints ain't moving up to the top 10. That's not happening. It's considerably easier to move into the bottom 15. So I know it didn't happen in your mock draft this morning, but if Ed Oliver were to fall a little bit later, sort of into the high 20s or low 20s, because teams don't necessarily know where to play him, that's somebody I could see the Saints moving for, and that can actually make a big difference. Same thing for Hakeem Butler. I could see them making a move for him. The Saints have traded up into the first round or traded up in the first round for a wide receiver before. We saw it with Brandon Cooks. He doesn't really fit the mold of what the Saints like to do with his size, but Hakeem Butler certainly does. 100% fits the size and athleticism for what the Saints like to do with their offense. So you're looking for somebody at that point, if you're trading up to the first round, that could actually tip the scale and then make you even more of a Super Bowl contender. You've already got a Super Bowl roster, and there's not a lot of holes to fill. So you got to be really, really, really specific if you're jumping up to the first round.
I'd have to agree with you right there. Talking right now with Ross Jackson, All Saints Considered Locked On Saints podcast. And hypothetically, if they wind up staying with that second-round pick, I know you talked about it, they should wind up sticking with it. But my question to you is, what do they do with that? Because, again, like we talked about this a while back before the Jared Cook deal became official, they probably looked towards more tight end. What perspective are we thinking about now as we are about 5 days away from the draft starting and 6 days away from the second-round picks being announced?
Yeah, so a lot of draft experts will tell you that there's not that much of a gap between the picks that are going to be made in the high 20s, so the later part of the first round, and the end of the second round. So there's not a big talent gap there. You can find really, really good talent late in the second round in this draft because there are a lot of deep positions. Interior offensive line is deep. So at 62, you might see somebody like Wisconsin's Michael Dieter, who can play all along the interior, or Elgton Jenkins, who can play all along the interior out of Mississippi State. So if they wanted to go interior offensive line, they can definitely get somebody of value there. If those people happen to be off the board, those guys happen to be gone, you can still look at wide receiver at 62. You're not going to lose. I mean, Hakeem Butler is a major talent, but after him and A.J. Brown, you're not really going to lose a ton of talent. So if somebody like Kelvin Harmon, for instance, is available at 62 out of NC State, he would be a good add. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out of Stanford, who's become one of my favorite wide receiver prospects, he would be a great add. You can even go wide receiver even later in the draft if you wanted to wait on that. I don't know that the Saints use that 62 pick for a tight end. A lot of people are going to tell you best player available. I think that best player available is kind of a misnomer because team need still factors into that, right? You can't say, oh, the best player available is somebody that's going to take Marshawn Lattimore's spot, so we're going to go ahead and go for him. But if there's nobody available there, if you don't have a need there, then why waste that pick when you've got somebody that can run at that position? They're deep at cornerback now, so I'm not too worried about them going defensive back early in the draft, whether that be second round or if they were to trade up. So I definitely think wide receiver or offensive line or even interior defensive line, depending on who's on the board, like let's say, or defensive line period, let's say Charles Domenihue out of Texas is still on the board, I wouldn't be mad at that either.
All right, one more question for you, Ross. You know, when we talk about the schedule coming out, it's officially released. What's your way too early prediction for the Saints 2019 record?
Oh, okay. Way too early is absolutely what this is, but
yep.
I feel very confident, very, very confident in a 12-4 or 11-5 season.
Okay, you know that seems like a conservative pick. I definitely would agree with that sentiment, mind you. I just haven't gotten to the minutia of that. I probably wind up breaking that down probably next week's show, because I just feel like I haven't necessarily done a whole lot of legwork with the schedule to say, oh, hey, this is what they're going to wind up being. But 12-4, 11-5 feels like the conservative pick, and I think it's safe to say 12-4, 11-5 wins the NFC South, right?
That's exactly right. 12-4, 11-5, 11-12-13 wins, you're in the playoffs. You're pretty much set as a playoff team, or you can expect to be a playoff team there, unless something wacky happens with your division, which has happened before in the NFC South.
Well,
but
hell, you're probably a buy at that then.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so I think that, 11-5, 12-4, that's kind of where I feel comfortable sitting at this moment. But we got to see. We don't know what these teams are going to look like. They could potentially be another 13-3 year, or they could be that 11-5.
Ross, thanks so much for coming on, my man. We'll talk to you next week because we'll know what happened with the Saints if they traded up in the first round, what they did in the second round. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Absolutely, my brother. Good to talk to you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, that was Ross Jackson. You can follow him on Twitter at RossJacksonASC if you want to follow his Saints draft coverage. Of course, you can follow our draft coverage as well, home1037thegame.com. Going to take a quick commercial break, wrap up the producers next on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
You can always score big by being a member of the 1037 The Game Clubhouse. Here's what's going on now.
Right now in the 103.7 Game Clubhouse, enter to win an Astros Weekend Getaway presented by Lafayette Roofing. Gift certificates to Mabel's Kitchen or Mr. Lester's Steakhouse in Cypress Bayou Casino Hotel. A $50 gift card to Prejean's and a Festival International prize pack.
Win tickets, gift certificates, and more by joining the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse on 103.7thegame.com or on the free mobile app. The producers are willing to break down all the rumor and innuendo to get your weekend kickstarted. Chat them up at 337-706-0111. Now back to Blaine, Clint, and Cody.
Let's begin now.
Welcome back to the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com, live as always from the 237 Roof Studios, wrapping things up in a nice little bow before we kind of wrap up our day here. Of course, we got LSU Baseball 1:30 pregame, 2 o'clock first pitch right here on Acadiana Sports Station. We've got Astros over on our sister station, the Rewind 97.7 FM, 1330 AM and 104.1 FM out in Lake Charles. And, man, we also had a really great interview just now with Ross Jackson.
Yeah, he was able to kind of break that all down and talk about the draft and his opinion on if they should move up or not. It's going to be interesting to see what the Saints do. But he, like he said, though, they have moved up in every draft Sean Payton has been a part of.
It's amazing, you know. And it's also amazing considering the fact that it's been, what, we've gone through this show an hour and 51 minutes without a call from somebody. We usually kick the show off, kick the hour off with this person, so we might as well tee it up with our guy T. What's going on, brother?
Hey guys, how y'all doing this morning?
Fantastic.
Oh, we doing good, man. We doing good.
Good. Hey, I'm sorry to hear about the producers, but you know what, CD? I know you got that.
I appreciate it, Big Cat.
I don't know. Yep. Another thing, hey, Blaine.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be starting your own show from 11 to 2 on 103.7 again?
No, man, I'm not.
You sure?
Listen, I appreciate your thought, though, man.
Yeah. Hey, it's not that I don't like Jim Rome as a person, and he does great interviews. I just don't get his show. I just don't get it, you know?
I think Jim Rome's either one of those shows you either love it or you hate it. There's no in-between. And you have to like his style and what he does.
Yeah, I don't. So, but anyway, hey, Blaine, I wish you luck in whatever you do and everything. And I'm sure you're going to be a guest once in a while.
Oh
man,
yeah.
I'll still be around, man.
You bet, especially yeah, around him, especially once high school football season gets really kick-started.
With Clint and with Ben on Bumper
and
Bumper.
Oh, definitely.
And, some Carrico football in the fall as well.
Awesome. Hey, isn't baseball a crazy game?
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
Pumped and then they, I mean, is that crazy or what? So, hey, guys, I enjoyed y'all show. Love it, man. Y'all keep up the good work, and we'll see you on the other side.
All right, man. Yeah, like I said, we'll be back one more show next week. I appreciate the call, though, T. That's awesome.
On a personal note, though, this will be my last producer.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the run that we had, and it was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, the show will still exist in name, but it'll probably be just me once again because I don't think we can get Cody in because, well, I mean, I know T-Ball's starting up.
Yeah, T-Ball's in full form right now, man.
Well, no. Well, Poika P, I think it's just about to start. I think it's starting next week.
Okay, so he's
because I feel like Cody doing
he's been scouting is opposition.
I think Cody's like the T-ball season and Poika P starting on today of all days with Cody as a coach. Pop bon.
It starts today. Wow.
No. I don't know if it starts today, but I'm saying if it did hypothetically,
yeah, he would have that to would be pop holidays.
That would be pop bon. That would be pop bon.
Definitely pop bon.
But, you know, like I said, just can't wait for next week's show because I know we'll definitely be talking a lot more about the draft. Definitely have Ross Jackson on, talk about that, talk about a lot of things. Because hopefully we have, like, a show where we can just open it up, talk about everything that happened in the last week like we did this week. Because, my goodness, LSU may have had the best week in a long time. Home run hire of your boy, Scott Wilbert. He's new AD. Joe Oliva is the assistant to the assistant manager right now. It's amazing. or the regional manager, excuse me. So you got him being the assistant to F. King Alexander, who could be the next person to fall down on the sword, if you will.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No, I'm saying he could be the next.
Yeah.
you have that going on. We got a lot of things to talk about over the next couple of weeks. But, of course, like I said, we got baseball kind of getting ready to be the nitty-gritty time, Kentucky Derby and all that great stuff, man.
A ton of stuff going on. I mean, it's a fun time of sports. We got NBA playoffs that we didn't even get a chance to talk about.
Yeah, we really haven't, you know.
NBA draft's going to be coming up, yeah. You know. And
the Pels are –
Pels got their GM.
Are in the seventh spot, you know. We talked about that a lot to open up the show last Saturday, right. Was the Pelicans.
Well, now it's official, you know, they came out. And
oh, boy.
He even kind of alluded to the fact that AD might stay in New
Orleans. If that happens, I'm gonna put a bet down. Kind of like our guy across the basin did. I will try my damnedest to do cartwheels in the 237 Roof Studios if AD stays in New Orleans. If that happens.
We'll have to get a paramedic on standby for that.
I'd have to agree with you on that one. But, like, you bring in the playoffs. I mean, I was surprised Orlando won game one.
Yeah, I'm still not too excited about NBA playoffs. Like I mentioned last week, you know, we can get up in round two.
Also, we were talking about them. I think we also mentioned the NHL playoffs. Remind me who you remind me.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are out, right? The one seed. They got beat by the
eight. The team that won the President's Cup is already out.
Man,
you completely like
the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's some that's Pawbon no, it's not Pawbon. I'm gonna go full Buckley for you. That's Pazbon.
Oh man,
like Pazbon, muy Pazbon. That's just not good at all, right there.
Yeah,
just even No, this is like I'm not going to say it because I know how to say it in Spanish. I'm just not going to say it on the air because of risk of being, like, fired, you know. We got, like, one of us with the producers. I don't want the other show to come to an end, too, alone with my job, you know. So, yeah, like I said, that one, like, Orlando making it interesting because I said that was going to be a sweep. I was surprised at that, making things entertaining over in Orlando.
Anything changed with your predictions?
I don't think so. Mind you, I think Philly might be the one, but I said it on the show like last Saturday.
Boy, Benny Simmons went off two nights ago.
Dude, he looked great two nights ago, man. Like, it was just – he did something that we never seen him do and actually make three-pointers.
Take over a game.
Did something he never would do at LSU.
I don't think he had that in him, but he –
Yeah, well, like I said, when you have Joel Embiid looking at other guys' cell phones during a game and apparently farting on the bench. Had you seen that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Like, yeah, I'm just saying, he's the one that fought it. So, yeah, he pooted. We're out of here. Have a great rest of your Saturday morning. Of course, LSU baseball, 2 o'clock first pitch, 1:30 pregame. Enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend, especially enjoy today.
From the 237 Roof Studio. Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.